The title I gave to this talk is Fragile Closeness, Intimate Communication in German Romanticism. This research is concerned with codes of intimacy in German Romanticism. I'm drawing on Niklas Luhmann's findings that romantic love is a code developed around 1800 in order to facilitate an otherwise improbable communication, improbable personal communication. So Luhmann says in German, höchst persönliche Kommunikation, so highly personal communication, a little bit difficult to translate. He is talking about an intimate communication. Why did communication become problematic? Luhmann explains this as a result of a process of individualization, which reached its peak around 1800. And in the course of this process, is it not only single social subject, which is individualized, but also their reference to the world, Weltbezug, as Luhmann calls it. As a result of this individualization, personal and general worldviews are separated, and communication now implies that each individual demands from their counterpart to affirm this particular personal worldview. The closer the social relationship is, the greater the imposition will be, thus threatening the success of the communication process. Thus far, Luhmann, I agree with most parts of his analysis. In my research, I suggest to expand Luhmann's concept of intimacy. Luhmann limits himself to love relationships. However, romantic writings involving friends, family members, and other closely related people show the close attention with which each slight detuning, each signal of misunderstanding was registered and made a subject of discussion. Letters in particular reveal that the discourse is often accompanied by a kind of meta-discourse, constantly commenting on language or comprehension issues. There seems to exist a code other than love whose function it is, if not to take down barriers of communication, then at least to make them visible. And my research aims to describe this romantic code of intimacy in such a broad sense. Now, instead of remaining on a merely theoretical level, I would like to present you a document, a letter to be more precise, which I find very remarkable in several respects. This letter, in particular, was not part of an intimate relationship. Rather, its author intended to establish such a relationship in the first place. And this task was anything but easy. It is Dorothea Veit's first letter to the brother of Friedrich Schlegel, who was living with Dorothea in an illegitimate relationship, and to his sister-in-law, Caroline Schlegel, August Wilhelm Schlegel's wife. At the time of writing, Dorothea Veit, née Brendel Mendelssohn, she was Moses Mendelssohn's daughter, quite a celebrity in Enlightenment Berlin, was a married, separated Jewess and 8 years older than Schlegel himself, Friedrich Schlegel. So as you can imagine, quite a gossip in town. The skepticism that August Wilhelm and Caroline had about their union with Friedrich Schlegel was not to be taken lightly. It took Dorothea Veit 1.5 years before she dared to write the letter. And this is something that she confesses herself. What you see here, so Dorothea Veit confesses, oh, endlich habe ich es doch gewagt, selber zu schreiben. Oh, at last, I have dared to write myself. This is the first page of the letter. And this is the line I'm talking about. Oh, at last, I've dared to write myself. First of all, I would like to draw your attention to the strange opening of the letter, which begins in such a mediated manner. Its function is probably to overcome the difficulty of an absolute beginning by linking it to a letter by August Wilhelm Schlegel. The actual occasion of the letter seems minor. It concerns a question of accommodation for the Jena guests, August Wilhelm and Caroline, during their visit to Berlin. But Dorothea Veit gives the matter such weight that it gives the impression that the decision involves a judgment on her person. Dorothea Veit's effort to persuade the addressees to make friendly concessions and the degree of caution she exercises in her formulations can hardly be increased. With regard to the meta-discourse mentioned above, which reflects on and explicitly addresses her own writing, it is extremely remarkable in the case of this letter how Dorothea Veit deals with the unusual and indeed for her very delicate situation. The strategy she chooses is unconditional openness. And these are the next extracts I have to you, still on the first page. Und nun hören Sie gleich alles, and now you are about to hear everything. And lassen Sie mich auf alles antworten, wo Ihnen Zweifel bleiben, fragen Sie mich alles. Erlauben Sie mir's dann, dass ich Ihnen offen über alles spreche. Let me answer everything where doubts remain. Ask me everything, then allow me to speak openly to you about everything. But this openness is not only reflected, it is even specifically justified. As she writes, Friedrich Schlegel had openly sent the letters that were to go to Jena to Dorothea Veit. So he sent the letters that were supposed to go to Jena to Dorothea Veit so that her sister, Henriette Mendelssohn, could add hers. And from these letters, from Friedrich Schlegel's perspective, she also learned of Caroline Schlegel's doubts and objections against their relationship. Here she writes Dorothea on the second and third page of the letter. Wie hätte ich sie nicht lesen sollen? Aber nicht wahr, liebe Caroline, er hätte sie lieber nicht offen schicken sollen. How could I not have read them? But not true, dear Caroline. He had rather not sent them openly. But now that this has happened, she must be allowed to speak openly about everything. Dorothea Veit's cleverness is shown once again at the end of the letter where she asked the addressees to mock her directness. This is the end of the letter. Leben Sie wohl, teure liebe Freunde, und lachen Sie mich immer aus, dass ich so gar nichts zu sagen imstande bin als die Sache geradezu, aber seien Sie mir nicht böse darüber. Farewell, dear friends, and always laugh at me for not being able to say anything but the matter in hand. But do not be angry with me for it. It can remain undecided here whether this deftness is due to a strategic consciousness or mere intuition. However, Dorothea Veit will undoubtedly have known that it is precisely through this directness, and even more so through her admission, that she binds addressees to herself. Those who present their nakedness to others make themselves unassailable. Perhaps the tense prehistory of this letter and the gravity of the situation in which it was written can even be read from the typeface, from the topology of the letter itself. What is striking is that it violates all the conventions of topology that were common at the time. There is no space in this letter, apart from the last page, which is only half written. One would almost like to add no space to breathe. The writing is tight and crowded to the edges, and I have here the double page, pages 2 and 3 for you, to see how she distributed her writing on the pages. So the writing is tight and crowded to the edges. Pages 2 and 3 of the manuscript, an open double page, almost without a paragraph. If there were not a difference in the color of the inks indicating an interruption in the writing, one would be inclined to assume that the letter was written in one go. But even if this was not the case, the letter presents itself as a massive block of text, sealed on all sides. This protection of the letter writer stands in the greatest possible contrast to the openness expressed in the letter. Thank you very much.